your drop. Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Juan.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweetie.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can sometimes be muted and sometimes be loud, sometimes being too much and sometimes being not enough. But at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet, and we are here to give you quiet onset, the dark side of kids TV. This is episode 4, Too Close to the Sun, round 2 for us. If you are a Patreon member, you might realize that we put up a whole video about this and it was completely muted. And now we are doing the entire episode again. And that's what's happening. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Second time's a charm. Mm-hmm. That's what they always say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge known, you know, it's widely known phrase.
It was.
Second time's a charm.
Yeah. So a trigger warning. This is about child abuse, child sexual assault. And other unseemly things having to do with children in an industry and the industry not protecting them in the manner in which they should have. So we are ending the Quiet On Set documentary series with Brian Peck. He's sentenced in 2004. And Drake and his mother go to the court to, you know, for the sentencing and or all of the trial stuff. And Drake is so overwhelmed with the fact that there are so many people sitting on Brian's side of the courtroom. And it's just so interesting because in 2004, that was a different time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody was had, you know, alleged sexual intercourse and other horrible things with a minor, nobody would be in that courtroom sitting next to that person.
Yeah.
Except for maybe their family.
Absolutely.
Like nobody outside of their family would sit there and just be like, well, I'm staunchly on this side of the person's aisle.
Yeah. So he got to be able to address all the people that he knew. Again, he is a young actor and the people sitting on Brian's side are like other actors in industry. Like Drake knows them. And so it's not just the fact that he gets to like address Brian and what he's taken, but he actually gets to talk to all of them. And this is what he says. I said, you will forever have the memory of sitting in this courtroom and defending this person. And I will forever have the memory of the person you're defending, violating me and doing unspeakable acts and crimes. And that's what I'll remember. And I thought that it was like, the pain from that kind of, you know, statement is like visceral, you know, and I can't imagine being there. I wonder who was there at the time, having been tricked by Brian for whatever, you know, reasons that Brian gave that this was happening to him. I'm sure Brian made himself a victim to the various people he talked into giving the witness statements or giving the whatever the written statements about and who are there physically. I wonder who heard that in the moment being like, oh shit. I wonder if I'm wrong, you know?
I mean, the fact that some of them thought that he was coerced or like, what is the word that they use? It's a word where you like tantalized or something like somehow.
Tempted,
yeah. Somehow 15-year-old Drake tempted Brian into this behavior. And that's the only excuse that they could possibly give, that it was some kind of temptation. And it's like, wow, 2004, we were still blaming the victim and blaming kids for adults making poor choices. That's so interesting. And it's so telling. And I'm glad that we are kind of out of that idea in our brains right now. I mean, we can, you know. So he pled no contest, which I don't exactly know what that means, to 2 charges. And he only gets 16 months and then has to register as a sex offender. Could you imagine being able to violate someone for over a year and then only getting a child and then only getting 16 months?
No, especially because there's a goddamn confession. Again, because of the fact that Drake got Brian to confess on a tape recorded call that he was suffering at the hands of what was done to him. And Brian then repeatedly asking if this is being recorded, but confessing. It's crazy. So again, no contest just means, so obviously there's guilty or non-guilty. So no contest means I'm not going to say either, but I'm not going to fight it either. So just assume what you're going to assume, which, yeah. So yeah, he gets 41 letters, recommendation letters, There is no Dan or Nick in the recommendation letters, but there are such notable actors. And again, some of these people have come out afterwards to be like, I wouldn't do the same thing. And this happened, you know, and it where I was lied to. And I can't believe I did this. But James Marsden, Taron Killam, Alan Thicke, Ryder Strong and Will Friedle, specifically Ryder Strong on his podcast before the docuseries came out, was like, I was fucked up.
Yeah. And he was a kid too. He was a child actor too at the time. So it's like, okay. I mean, yeah. So,
but then, yeah, Brian, after he's out after 16 months, he still works on Suite Life with Zach and Cody, which I guess is a Disney show. And it really goes to show that that casting director and that director and the producer of that episode, honey, hired a known, because just so you know, not only was he convicted, he had to register as a sexual offender. And then he also got cast on this kid's
that other one. Yeah. And then that's when Nickelodeon was like, hey, guess what? We should expand our policy for background checks. And that's because they ended up having another pedophile on campus or on set, on the lot, as it is. Sorry, I'm thinking of all the different things you can say. On the lot, and it was another gentleman who was, I guess, a part of production crew, and he also was a sex offender. It's just like crazy that they did this. And then now we're in the second wave, or the Drake and Josh wave, because after this, Drake still goes on to have like at least 3 to 4 more seasons of Drake and Josh. It's not like his career was over. Like, he continues to move on, and it's somewhat shrouded in mystery who the person was that Brian Peck was accused of attacking. And so he has to just go on his life as though nothing happened. But the boy is messed up. He gets into drugs and alcohol and a lot of trouble with like DUIs because he's still performing. He's big in Mexico with his music. And then we've got Dan doing shows such as Victorious, iCarly, Sam and Cat. And then we have a scene where we didn't move to Jeanette McCurdy, who was on, I think she was on iCarly. I'm not sure which one she was on, or Sam, I don't know which one she was on. But she's the one who wrote the book about I'm Glad My Mother's Dead. And she talks about her time being a child actor and how her mother was awful, but also how different executive producers and creators and whatnot were terrible as well. And she refers to somebody specifically in her book as just the creator, and everyone is like, that's Dan Schneider. Like, that is absolutely Dan Schneider, because she released her book before this came out. So I think she was just like, I don't want to smoke, I just want to tell my story. And so we get a little bit of her, of how like Dan would creep up behind her and scare her.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's like he tried to be like this big kid, but it's like at some point you're a grown ass man playing with kids that are from the age of 6 and 14, and you feel so confident in yourself that like you understand that genre of kids television and you're the master at this. But then there's a lot of inappropriate things that he does with Zoe 101 and Kat and Sam, and it's just like gross.
Yeah, it absolutely is. He is asking for massages on set. He, you know, is videoing people and scaring them and making overall people on edge of not knowing how to act and definitely not being able to be their professional best selves. It's like, and it's just, you know, it's crazy. So we have specific instances of like a backpack episode of Zoe 101, where she gets like basically a cum shot, and Zoe 101 is Jamie Lynn Spears. So that's an episode. People that are watching it are like, that is a cum shot. And he sort of gets to wink at all of this, all of these like situations where young folk are put into, you know, what comic situations that definitely resemble porn or sexual situations, but then don't know. They don't have the consent to, they don't understand it. Like, you know, it's supposed to be like tongue in cheek. If it feels weird, then they're the ones that are fucked up, because it's not a weird thing. It's that kind of like, it's gaslighting. It's like the same thing of, you can't say taint. Oh, why not? It's just taint. Okay. Something's wrong with you. You're fucked up if you think that taint is about a sexual thing. Okay. Yeah. It's like this thing where it's like, am I weird? It's the same thing he's doing to the parents of the kids on the set, where then they're like, no. Okay. You know, it's just very highly manipulative and indicative of someone who like is moving through space to control it for their own weird purposes without like caring about the individual like comfort and or personhoods of the other people that he hires, is in control of, all the stuff. So, yeah, I think the massages are crazy. We're talking about the massages throughout every episode. They talk about it. Sometimes it was just Jeanette being like, the one thing I remember out of him is he's always getting massages. Or it's a costumer who we see her hands be like, there'd be people who would just text, like, meet me on set, I need a massage. And they'd be like, I just literally have so much fucking work to do, but I have to go give this asshole a massage because he's a showrunner of multiple shows on Nickelodeon. And once this show is done, if he likes me and he likes my massage, I can just go to the next. It's how I get paid. And so it's interesting for anyone. I can't imagine like making someone touch me in that way. Like, I can't imagine even when masseuses have to touch me. But, you know, like making someone touch me is such an interesting thing.
Yeah, I just, as from an HR brain, I'm like, how did anyone ever just accept this and not think of the risk that comes along with this behavior just because he makes shows that people really like? Like, it just doesn't seem like the right course because of, you know, being able to sue. But it was just a different time. And I'm glad that we're in the time that we're in now. I'm glad that the Me Too movement happened where people could, you know, talk about how they endured sexual harassment in different uncomfortable situations because of, you know, different folk in powerful positions in scarcity mindset jobs. Like, it is just like, it's wild to me. And then we had like a 2014 Kids' Choice Awards, which, here's the deal. I'm going to be honest with you. Have they ever given one shit about the Kids' Choice Awards?
No,
not one. And so for them to be like, it was the Kids' Choice Awards, it was the Nickelodeon. When people put Kids' Choice Awards on their resume, I'm like, so a bunch of kids voted for you? Why do you want kids to like you?
I mean, yeah, these network award shows aren't real. Like, I don't, like, it was fun back in the day to watch the MTV, you know, like Video Music Awards or whatever. But like, even if someone wins an MTV Video Music Award, I'm like, oh, it's just like whatever MTV execs wanting whoever to be at their event, they'll give them the awards if they're performing. I mean, it's just my mind. I'm like, who cares about that? It's so arbitrary. I don't mind watching it for the performances, but I don't care about the award.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to knock anybody because I would love an NAACP award. And I know people would be like, well, that's not important, but go ahead and give me a BET award as well. Like, I would accept that as well. Like, I get,
it's like, he's huge. Why, I mean, that would be a huge award to win, right?
Well, it's not like the Grammys, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, or like, you know, screenwriters or like whatever. It's just a different, it's just such a different like genre of awards, but they give it to like Black people from all of the communities, like,
yeah,
athletes, artists, writers, like, you know, whatever. So like, but what I'm saying is like, I just was like, I don't get the Kids' Choice Award. Who is it? I'm a kid. I'm not voting in it, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care if The Rock wins. I don't care. Like, I don't care. So it's just always so interesting to me that, like, they were so excited for this because Nickelodeon was so big that they could put on. Like, did Disney Kids win a Kids' Choice Award? It was just only Nickelodeon. Like, I just don't get, you know what I mean? I didn't understand, like, the point of this. I wouldn't go unless I had a child. But, like, was Ice Cube there with his child once? Sure, probably. You know, Hannah Montana, was she there? Yeah, probably. But like, I didn't care. So. there's so much scandal surrounding him and, you know, different things that happen because of the, you know, we have what's her face, the singer now who like, oh, everyone's
Ariana Grande.
And I was like, it's not Mariah Carey. Ariana Grande doing like this, like character where she is a ditz and she's for some reason in her room trying to squeeze milk out of a potato. Ooh, I can't get the milk. Why can't this happen? And they just let this shit happen. She's like laying in on her bed with her head over the side and pouring water on herself. Just really inappropriate shit that you know, has occurred. I mean, and I was out with somebody yesterday, and this is not to reflect on Chris at all, but I was out with somebody the other day, and they were like, well, you know who Jamie Lynn Spears' baby is? And I was like, and they were like, nah, nah, nah. And I was like, oh, there's no proof of that. But like, that's like a rumor that's running around right now that like, that might be an alleged situation. And I'm just like, oh my God, it is so much shenanigans. Because y'all know that she had that baby at like 15, 16 years old. It was a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just like so much going on in this world that parents can sometimes be complicit in. Maybe not in these situations, I don't know. But it feels like the want and the need to be famous and to have their kid be whoever. And then we have so many child actors who just like aren't doing well. We have so many, you know, we have ones that are, you know, but we have so many that are not.
I know. You know, the big thing about this series is kind of bringing to light those actors we don't remember that much, you know, like, and hearing their stories. And a lot of them are like really tragic. There's the actors that we do know and their stories are also equally tragic. And then there's the actors that are, like, have gone on to like fame and success from this. So, for instance, that's basically the end of the docuseries. But since it's aired, Dan's pretty much said that he had made mistakes and he...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
You wish you could go back under the guise of knowing that he should never have been an asshole ever. And his statement about the quiet on set, first of all, happens like in a weird off-brand YouTube video, but also has this air of, I wasn't perfect and so sorry. And it's like, oh, it's more than that. He doesn't apologize to anyone specifically.
Mm-hmm.
He just has like a blanket, you know, apology. And throughout the docuseries, we have little statements of Dan one-off of saying, oh, I wasn't there when they told the kids about Brian Peck, or blah, 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 I didn't know about that, or I was never sexist. I somehow hired guys that looked like me all the time after, you know, like, it's just, that's his thing. Nickelodeon pretty much is like, we do a lot of different protocols now to make sure that we are, you know, treating our actors with whatever care. And Drake has gone against that to be like, just so you know, I literally paid for my own therapy bill for the rest of my life. And you can imagine the therapy, it's a lot because of this fucking horrible situation. And one thing about this docuseries is that Dan, as a toxic showrunner figure, he is. That's what they paid him as. And there's not like specific things about that. Obviously, there's really horrible things about Brian Peck and a lot of like the trauma. And there's like that guy, last name Handy. But what's interesting is the network executives and people that allowed the content to pass, who kept hiring Dan, who hired Brian after this. Like, I almost wonder, like, where are those people's names? And the fact that we aren't given those names is troublesome, because A, I know maybe you can like say that, you know, you're going to be fired for it, but also B, it doesn't promise that anything will change, because literally throughout this documentary, we keep getting Nickelodeon to be like, oh, we're better now, in a way that feels so like, no, you're fucking not. So basically, Ariana Grande has said absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. And she's been called out, like people in The View are like, sorry, can't hear a word from you, though you have like new music to release. Yes, and what? You know, LOL. Janet McCurdy, as we said, released a whole book. It's a bestseller, so I'm sure a lot of information about that. Now, Josh Peck was the actor opposite Drake on that show. And obviously, Josh, well, I don't know if it's obviously not related to Brian Peck. Josh on the show was like the fat kid to Drake, guinea kid. Josh looks completely different nowadays, but was like called out on the internet. Did you hear this? I just want you had given some TikTok knowledge that people were like coming for him.
Oh yeah. So it was called out after the release of this documentary that Josh hadn't said anything because it was Josh and Drake, right? Like, how do you, your literal co-star has gone through this awful thing. Like, did you know, like what, you know, whatever, whatever. And so Drake ended up doing a TikTok video where he told the audience to just go easy on Josh because Josh had nothing to do with this. Josh has been supportive and Josh has reached out to him. And so because Josh reached out to Drake privately, the world is like, no, reach out to him in front of all of us, please, or say something in front of all of us. And so then Josh ended up putting out a statement. We have Keenan put out a statement as well, finally, within the last couple of days. So people are really like taking the time out. And here's the truth. Like, maybe they didn't watch it immediately. Like, maybe they were like, didn't watch it because they were like, oh, what is this about? Like, this, I'm Nick. Oh, that was so long ago in my life. And then finally, the world is screaming about it. And then they go to watch it. And it's hard. It's hard to watch, you guys. I wasn't there. But could you imagine being somebody who is was on the show and having to see your peers talk about their experiences, and maybe you haven't talked to them in a long time and you're in a completely different place in your life? Like, so I get the slow to response type thing now. But, you know, earlier this week, I was like, isn't everybody responding? Isn't everybody watching the same TV? So I think that it's important that they did respond, because it shows a little community that we need to see in this time of, you know, in the world and the way that we communicate to each other with social media and whatnot. But like Nick ended up parting ways. Nickelodeon ended up parting ways with Dan Schneider at some point prior to the documentary.
Yeah, they did do movement.
They gave him a $7 million buyout and was like, peace be on to you. And so so when he did do his statement, he basically didn't even talk about the fact that he talked about being an asshole as though like that was his only crime. And he's like, you know, now me would go back and be a different person, which I believe, right? I think that a lot of times, like, we let monsters be monsters because as society, we're not curbing that behavior. And so, but it does feel like he doesn't have any particular, doesn't really take responsibility for his behavior, more so of like, that's long ago, but you know, I saw Bill Cosby go down, so my bad, I'm so sorry, like, you know. Yeah, and also he doesn't want to take too much culpability because of being sued or whatever. So Keenan, for all intents and purposes, still works at Nickelodeon because they were the studio that produced Good Burger 2. He did that 2021. So one other person that we are not hearing from and has obviously gone through a lot of issues and was a major part of the first two episodes of this is Amanda Bynes. And we know that Amanda Bynes has had a lot of also just like ups and downs in the media or whatever. It's very Britney Spears, you know, like everything feels so crazy connected. Like, Britney Spears is conservatorship. Amanda Bynes has a conservatorship. A lot of both of them have struggled with some substance abuse and some mental issues. One interesting thing is that Britney in her book talks about Adderall, and Amanda Bynes also talks about Adderall. Yeah. There was this thing back in the, and it still is, where a lot of young women take Adderall, prescribed Adderall for dieting purposes. It's a speed. It makes you not hungry. And so, and you also can hyper-focus if, you know, sometimes or sometimes not. But unfortunately, it's a huge drug. Speed. And, you know, can really
wreak havoc on your system, every part of your system. If you aren't sleeping right and you can't focus, like, how the hell are you going to do anything? If you aren't sleeping right and focusing, then your mood is crazy. And if your mood is crazy, then you start to try and stabilize it and through like self-medication symptoms or self-medication techniques. And then you get into a whole host of problems as you try and like create the symmetry and peace that won't be there because of what you're taking. There's something so like that that is akin to plastic surgery. Like if you think about trying to like create beauty symmetry in the face, but you just keep changing one thing, and this needs this, then this needs this, and then this, and this. It's like the same thing with like trying to like get perfect cat eyeliner. You know, it's the pursuit of perfection, of you think of perfection, is never ending, and you end up looking like a crazy mess, and you end up feeling like a crazy mess. So all of it's really, really sad. Amanda Bynes obviously hasn't said anything. Keenan, you know, said something, but it does feel like he was basically like, a lot of this happened before I got there, so I don't really know about it. My heart hurts for them, and I'm glad that the docuseries happened to bring some of this to light. So
yeah, I often wonder about like, is it his star power, Kel's star power, did that lend to it, their parents being there, like what was the magic formula for them? And then his co-star, who I can't recall, but the other funny girl on All That, she was so great. I wonder how she's doing. Like, I just wonder how everybody's doing now, because, you know.
Yeah.
So we have a little cinematic moment where all of the actors who were on the show come forward and like, they're like, you know, this is my last interview about this. And they all get up and walk away. So I do want to thank those audience members those cast members for being vulnerable and telling us their story and coming forth after years and years of suffering and pain. And I don't necessarily know that it will help them automatically get over it, but I do think that it is cathartic in some way. And I hope they find a little bit of peace knowing that we as a community and as a culture support them and hope for all the best for them mm-hmm. and whatever they choose to do now going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. And for sure, they were.
They're all that.
Why are you looking at me like you remember the song?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm okay.
I thought you were singing.
Oh, no.
You look, yeah, okay.
Because I didn't want to sing it wrong.
Like, okay.
I didn't want to sing it wrong. I was letting you have your moment.
I was like, wait, I was like smiling at you and thought that you would do your thing. And you were just like, okay. Yeah, that was the song.
Anyway, we love you guys so much. And, you know, take care of yourselves. And obviously, this is a hard one. And make sure that, you know,
just, I don't know, babes, you know, make sure that people, you know, the people, like, you never know people's stories and what trauma they've gone through, you know. And I feel so bad for a lot of people, everyone. I feel bad for everyone. Okay.
Mostly me.
Around
dams.
Okay.
If you want to see the visuals of what you're listening to right now, you can join us on patreon.com/docuspeedies for $10 a month. You can get exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month, which is coming up. And, you know, you get to support us, which is the most important thing, right? It's to support us and being able to put out content for you. But if you aren't able to do that, here's another way that you can support us. Chris will tell you how.
Go to your social media, type in @DocuSweeties on Instagram. Please follow and like all our posts. We're also on Twitter @DocuSweeties or whatever X, DocuSweeties1. We are on TikTok @DocuSweeties and we're killing it there. We also have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. If you haven't yet, consider giving us 5 stars. We're fucking great. We also need it. We love you so much. Sorry. And, you know, thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.